If I had a title for this, I'll title it The Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of Wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, and we've covered the first 14 verses where Paul is talking to the Ephesian saints about the spiritual blessings, the wonderful, rich spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And then he goes pretty much from verses 15 through 19 is a prayer. I spoke earlier about the first part of the prayer, which he thanked God for the saints, their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for the saints, their faith in the Lord and their love for each other. And then in verse 17, and this is what I'd like to focus our attention on, verse 17, let me back up to verse 15, and then we'll go to verse 17. So here's Paul's prayer for the Ephesian saints. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'll stop there. And I want to focus today on the spirit of wisdom, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. And really the word here, wisdom, is really the insight into the true nature of things. It is to have a broad, full intelligence. And there are obviously different kinds of wisdom. You know, we could say that Sister Melissa Beecham would have wisdom when it comes to, like, science. She's really talented when it comes to science. Don't look at me that way. You are. We would say that Brother Jefferson has medical sense. He has wisdom in the medical field. Brother Matt Bell has wisdom in the language of Spanish. Well, sadly, as we learned this morning, we all have the wisdom of the world. We all have that natural, we have wisdom in conjuring up wickedness, is what one commentator said, because of our depraved state. We all have wisdom in conjuring up wickedness. We are wise in the ways of the world. But here in this verse, Paul is praying that the Ephesian saints would have knowledge and practice for upright living, that they would seek the knowledge and then put it into practice to live uprightly, and really that they would have the wisdom of the source of wisdom, and that is Jesus Christ. So really, Paul is praying that the saints would grow in their knowledge of God as their Father, God the Father as their elector, their creator, their sovereign, their supreme authority, and that they would also grow in the wisdom of Jesus Christ as God the Father's Son, who is equal with Him, who is our mediator, who has redeemed us, who has justified us by His blood, that He has appeased God's holy wrath for their sins, the Ephesian saints' sins, and for our sins if we have been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that also that they would grow in their wisdom of the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter here and now, who makes dead hearts alive. He quickens dead hearts. And that is what Paul is earnestly praying for. He ceases not to pray for the Ephesian saints to have the spirit of wisdom. And again, as I said earlier, there is a wisdom that comes from this world. And let's go to James chapter 3 and maybe sort of do a little comparing and contrasting from the wisdom of the world as opposed to God's wisdom, the wisdom that Paul is praying for. James chapter 3. There is a wisdom that we must avoid. And then there is a wisdom that we must run to and pray for with all of our hearts. So James chapter 3, it's a very common chapter. It's talking about the tongue. You know, the tongue is a little member, but it wreaks great havoc. It can cause great destruction. It can tear up families, marriages, houses, churches, businesses. We'll skip to verse 13 of James chapter 3. And again, we're going to sort of compare and contrast the wisdom of the world as opposed to godly wisdom. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So let's look at that wisdom from the world, that bitter envying. That bitter envying means to be tormented by another person's good fortune. It is to be tormented if something is going well for somebody else. It is to be tormented by that. It is to be bothered by that, to be upset by that, to have bitter envying. It is also to be active and aggressive to diminish the good in another. How about that? The wisdom of this world. And I think we'll see a trend if we follow along of what is the source of the wisdom of the world. This bitter envying is also accompanied by fault finding, always trying to look for faults in someone else. Well, they may look like they are all high and holy, but wait till you find out what I know about them, or I'm sure I can find some skeletons in that closet. That is that bitter envying that James is talking about. So, bitter envying, strife. The wisdom of this world causes strife. That is to be contentious. That is to be self-seeking, looking for rivalries and creating factions. So the wisdom of this world destroys. It tears apart. It wants to create factions, to look for rivalries. The wisdom of this world, and the trend I think we see, is self. I'm upset that things are going so well with so-and-so. I'm going to bring them down because it'll make me feel better. It's all about me. The wisdom of this world is earthly. It's earthly, and that's really just referring to, like we were saying, just man's wisdom. It's kind of the idea of I'm going to do it my way. It's my way or the highway. Is liable to much misleading, to much heartache, to just do it my way and not care about anybody else's feelings. That's kind of the idea of earthly. And then sensual, the wisdom of this world is sensual. That's having corrupt desires, to have corrupt affections. It's giving in to your every single want, to your every single craving. It is that instant self-gratification. I've heard some people call it the microwave society of heat it up really fast, get what I want real quick. That's the wisdom of this world. Obviously, it could be referring to sexual lust, but it could also just be giving in to our every, I want a donut right now. I'm going to get it. That may not be the best thing for me, but I want it right now. And it's really just do what makes you feel good. Do what makes you feel good. Don't worry about the consequences because you feel good. Remember, wisdom of this world, self-seeking. And then earthly, sensual, and then devilish. Devilish. To act under the rule of Satan. Did you know that Satan, as we heard earlier today, he seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy? Did you know he prowls like a lion, seeking whom he may devour? Did you know the wisdom of this world will devour, it will eat you up. It will devour you. That's what Satan seeks to do. That's what the wisdom of this world seeks to do. So now, let's look at the good wisdom, the wisdom that Paul is talking about. And let's look at the source of this wisdom. It is first pure. It is pure. It's clean. It's modest. It's undefiled. It's mature. It's free from defilement. It is free from ugliness, if I can say. It hates wickedness. It hates wickedness. It seeks things that are pure. You know, it's easy, even as Christians in this world today, to get hardened to impurities. Not that we like them, but it's easy to get hardened to impurities. Work at a warehouse or anywhere else for a little while, and you'll be around the language, and you may not like it, you may not say it, but you get hardened to it. You do. That's what really we want to pray against, to be pure, that stuff would still, as Daddy says a lot, we want to blush. We've lost the ability to blush. We still want to blush. That is the wisdom, that's the godly wisdom, is pure, purity. Let's look real quick at an example of that, or who is that example, and that's Jesus. That is Jesus. He is pure. He is without defilement. And that's the wisdom that we want to seek after. That's the wisdom that Paul is praying for. Hebrews 7:26, talking about Jesus, our high priest. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, without defilement. He is undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And I'll stop there. That's all I want, is that pure wisdom from Jesus. It is holy, it's harmless, it's undefiled. Well, the wisdom of Jesus is also peaceable. It is peaceable, which really means it's that tranquility of soul. It's that inner rest. It is that inner calmness. And it's not talking about this Eastern religion calmness. It is talking about a true calmness of the soul, because we are right with God. Our souls are right with God. You know, everyone is seeking peace, some sort of peace. Nobody likes the feeling of guilt. Nobody likes to feel guilty. But you know, some people seek peace in other ways to appease their appetite. But the wisdom of Jesus, or the peace of Jesus, in Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Who is peace? Who is the ultimate lived peacefully or peaceable as a man? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace, Himself give you the peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Where do we find peace? We find it in Jesus Christ. Where do we find that godly wisdom, that purity? We find it in Jesus Christ. What does it say in Philippians? Yeah, Philippians. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the wisdom of this world, it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish, it's bitter envying, contentious, seeking strife, trying to create factions, trying to find something wrong in somebody else and bring them down. The wisdom of Jesus, peaceable, it's pure. The wisdom of Jesus is also, as we see from James, it is easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. Well, I missed one. It's gentle. Let me get that first. It's gentle also. Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus refers to himself and he says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "I am meek and lowly." Jesus refers to himself as meek, and that meek and gentle are very, very similar words. I think we could almost interchange them. Jesus is meek. Jesus is gentle. And he invites his children, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He will give us rest." That's where we will find that peace, that wisdom, from the one who is gentle, who is meek. Easy to be entreated. I love this. Because you know what? As a father of young children, sometimes I'm not the easiest to be entreated. And that is because of the wisdom of this world. I'm self-seeking. You're bothering me. I have something going on. What I have going on is more important right now in my mind. That's not how Jesus is. Let's go to Mark. I love this story. We have a song in the supplemental hymnal about old blind Bartimaeus. go to Mark chapter 10. Jesus is easy to be entreated. It's part of godly wisdom. Mark chapter 10. I think I wrote the wrong one down. Is that Mark chapter 10? No, I'm in Matthew. That's why I'm wrong. Sorry. Mark chapter 10. Starting at verse 46. And just imagine the scene. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, talking about Jesus, with his disciples, a great number of people. So you have this crowd of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So you have this blind beggar. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He was probably really, really loud. We know he was really, really loud. And this blind beggar, "What are you doing? You're so annoying. Will you please calm down?" Jesus had this great prophet, he has to talk to the important people. He didn't have time for you. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And guess what in verse 48? "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Be quiet. But what did he do? He cried the more a great deal. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me. I'm blind." Well, what was Jesus' reaction? Was he easy to be entreated or was he annoyed by him? And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man saying, And they call the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. There's many great lessons in that portion of Scripture, but the one, honestly, that I wanted to get was just that Jesus was easy to be entreated. Jesus doesn't get annoyed if you come after him and come after him and come after him. Remember the experiences of Jonah, the chances that Jonah got. Jesus is easy to be entreated. Obviously, we know, and I hope we understand it. That doesn't mean we try to play the system, as it were, and, "Oh, well, he'll forgive me," or whatever. No, we should not treat God that way. I think there would be that's a heart issue if we treat God in that way. But what I'm saying is, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He is easy to be entreated. He wants you to call on him. Call on him. Don't call on self. So, I'll stop there with the comparisons and contrasts, but do we see the differences in the wisdom of this world? Is all self-focused? It's all me, me, me. The wisdom of Jesus, godly wisdom, is the complete opposite. It is pure, it is undefiled, it is peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it's without partiality. Paul tells his young brother in the ministry, Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Jesus uses old people, young people, without partiality. He has a people of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. That's the wisdom. That's godly wisdom. The wisdom of Jesus. That is what Paul is praying for. That's what we should be seeking after. And really, what better desire for a person to have than to want to increase in wisdom? Remember in Luke, even Jesus, as a young boy, who's still God, as a young boy, he increased in wisdom. He increased in favor with God. If we truly want to be like Jesus, then how intensely should we desire wisdom? If Jesus increased in wisdom as the God-man, as a young boy, how much more should we? We are commanded to. We're commanded to grow in grace. We're commanded to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does John say in John chapter 3? "That he might increase, that I might decrease." That's what we should be pursuing. And so let's go to Proverbs just for my remaining time and look at just some other traits of wisdom, of godly wisdom. And we'll start in Proverbs chapter 1. And the first trait here is a sign of a wise person is one who is, he is humble enough to know, to be instructed. A wise person will have a learner's spirit. He is not a know-it-all. He wants to seek and to learn from others. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It says in Proverbs 11 and Proverbs 52, "In a multitude of counselors there is safety." The wise man, the wise woman will have a learner spirit, will be humble enough to know that I don't know. And they will want to learn from someone older. You know, I had a really great experience a few weeks ago. Sister Sandra was having lunch with us, and I'd never really talked to her about her experience with losing two sons and losing a husband. And so I asked, and I was like, "Sister Sandra, would you tell me the experience around Bob, her 17-year-old, you know, who was murdered?" And I was like, "But if you don't want to, that's fine." You know, she's like, "Thank you for asking me. I want to tell." And, you know, countless times she kept saying, "Nathan, God has just been so good to me. Nathan, God has just been so good to me. I can't believe how good he was during that whole time." There's a multitude of wisdom there. There is a storehouse of wisdom there. So if someone is going through a time of loss, if someone's lost a loved one, there's a person right now you could go to. And she said, "Thank you for asking me. I want to share that testimony," because she was just on and on about how good Grace Chapel was to me during that time. "I can't believe how good God is to me." She had her son was murdered. Her son was murdered. But that woman has the wisdom from above. That is a wise person, that a young woman or anybody who has gone through something similar or is going through something similar, there is a multitude or a storehouse of wisdom there. There is a storehouse of wisdom from an older, wise person. Let's look at one more in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And this wisdom right here is really just the ability, this wisdom is talking about the ability to make right choices and to have good discernment here. In Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll read the first seven verses. The ability to make wise choices, not self-seeking choices. "Hear ye children," Proverbs chapter 4, "hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Look at all the commands here that we'll see. "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." And Strong's, in his concordance, talks about this. This wisdom is really the knowledge and the ability to make right choices at the opportune time. It is to have discernment. But he says the prerequisite for this wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You must fear the Lord. If we have no fear for the Lord, if we have no reverence for the Lord, if we don't have time to read our Bible because we have more important things that we are doing, then we cannot expect to get wisdom. We cannot expect to have good discernment when we're making choices in our life. And in closing, What a joy that we have. Let's go back to James. chapter 1, though we have a God who delights to give us wisdom, He delights to give wisdom. It says in James chapter 1, verse 5, that if we seek wisdom, He gives liberally and He will not upbraid us. He will give us generously. He will give us large amounts. He loves us unconditionally. It says in Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom; out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." He's easy to be entreated. If any man seek wisdom, let him ask of God. So my question is, what are we seeking? What are you seeking in life? Which wisdom are we seeking? Are we seeking the wisdom of the age? The wisdom of Hollywood? The wisdom of academia? The wisdom of the universities? Or are we seeking the wisdom that is pure, that is peaceable, that is easy to be entreated? Well, how do we find this wisdom? Obviously, it said, multitude of counselors, elderly. But lastly, where do we seek this wisdom? And this wisdom is from above. It's from God's Word. This is the wisdom that Paul so desperately is begging that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom. We have the book of wisdom, the whole entire, the completed book of wisdom that is inerrant, it is without error, it is infallible, and it is divinely inspired. So go to the source to seek godly wisdom. Psalm 19, verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect," it's complete, "converting the soul." That means to change or to restore the soul. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." So what are we seeking? If we're seeking godly wisdom, and I pray we all are seeking godly wisdom, go to the source of that wisdom. Go to the source, that is God's Word, and He will give liberally. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for being wisdom, being the source of wisdom, Lord. We thank You that You have given us this book of wisdom, the Bible, Lord. I pray that You would bless us to read it, to study it, to meditate on it, Lord, to learn from it and to obey it, Lord. And I just pray that You would bless us to touch hearts, Lord. If there are those here that are seeking the wisdom of the world, I pray that You would change their hearts. I know at times my own life, I'm seeking the wisdom of the world, which is self-seeking. And Lord, I pray that You would bless us to just be re-energized and recharged to seek the wisdom that is from above, Lord. And it is in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.